So let's turn now to the New Testament reading, which is Acts chapter 4, page 1095. And don't be surprised if it sounds familiar. We looked at this passage last week. I'm reading the first section, verses 1 to 12, and then we're going to focus on just one verse. So reading from chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that passage open. We're going to be looking especially at those words, and most particularly at verse 12. At the end there, I just want to explain why we're looking at a single verse, because if you're regular at Dagenham Parish Church, you know we normally would look at a whole chapter or at least half a chapter, and we go through chapter by chapter reading the Bible the way God has given it to us as a book or in books. But it's good sometimes to stop and focus on I don't do this very often, but to stop and focus on a single sentence of Scripture. But just as a single small diamond can have as much value as a whole street of houses, so a single sentence of Scripture can hold great value for us. The second reason for doing this is how most of us think and understand about God and our lives. We remember single verses. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that... Thank you, Beth. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well, you know a verse like that. Do to others as you would have them do to you. You can remember a verse like that. We can remember and we can live by single sentences. And just as an aside, it's a really useful thing to practice to learn Bible verses. And a lot of us are getting older. Memory's not great, but it is a really good thing to work at. Finally, there are verses in the Bible that are very well known but not understood. They're on boards outside churches, on posters in train stations, on screens on mobile phones. But many people, including church people, don't really know what those verses mean within the Scriptures. And often we discover the true meaning of a sentence of Scripture by looking at the surrounding verses, what we call reading in context. And I'm going to try and show you that from this verse. This verse is a precious jewel, chapter 4, verse 12. It is a valuable treasure. But part of this verse is also misunderstood. Let me read it to you again, chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And it appears, at first glance, it seems to tell us two great things. The first thing, other gods can't save us, only Jesus can save us. It says there's no other name, salvation is found in no one else. So don't trust Allah of Islam. Don't trust the gods of Hinduism. Don't trust the rules of Buddha. Only Jesus can save you. And then second, if I do trust Jesus, I'll go to heaven when I die, because he's offering salvation. Now, both of those elements we need to adjust slightly when we look at what this verse is saying in its context. I'm not going to do some sort of magic. I know some church teachers do that, you know, they'll it's like popping a rabbit out of a hat. And what I'm going to try and show you is what's in the Bible, okay, to understand what it says here. So let's recap what's happened in the book of Acts from the past few weeks. Jesus told his disciples, stay in Jerusalem. And after 10 days from Jesus' departure, who did he send? He sent the Holy Spirit, and his people were unable to speak in other languages. The people around misunderstood. They said, they're drunk. So Peter stands up to explain, and Peter says, fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, they are not drunk. Peter stands to explain. And he says, this is the last days. And he quotes the verses that Grace read. You must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Sometime later, Peter brings about the healing of a man. This happens outside the gates of the temple in Jerusalem. Again, the people around misunderstand. Wow, Peter must have great power. Look, this lame man who we've known for years is walking. Peter has got great power. And Peter stands up and says to them, he's already standing, he says to them, fellow Israelites, it is not by my power or godliness, it is in Jesus' name. Then in our section, we've got a similar thing. The leaders of the Jews are disturbed, chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees, these religious groups in Israel, came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So these Jewish leaders do not accept that Jesus is God's son, that Jesus is the answer to God's promises. They arrest Peter and John. They challenge them. What are you doing? And Peter answers in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, that is the people of Israel. And then he responds to them in verse 10. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And he goes on to verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I want to start looking at that verse in a bit more detail now. It says there, God, a name has been given. What does it mean to give a name? It's not saying, it's not like my parents gave me my name. It's saying this name is given so that people can be saved. You know the story of the burning bush in the Old Testament? Who was there? Moses, that's right. And God gave his name to Moses so Moses could go and tell the people and they could know him because they'd heard his name. I can give you my name, but you don't know me if you just know the word Joel, the sound, Joel. That doesn't mean you know me. If you see me walking down the street and you're driving along in a very fancy car and you say to your friend, oh look, there's Joel, they don't then know me. They know the name that goes with that man, but that's not knowing me. But the name points to who they are. And if you've been coming to church for a while, you know the names of some of the people in this room. If I say Phyllis, I'm not just saying a word. I'm not just making a sound. You know Phyllis is the lady who stands at the front. She dances when we're singing. And she's the wife of Mark and the mother of Danae. That word Phyllis is not just a word, it's a name of someone that we know. In English, we have a phrase, we say, you're going to make a name for yourself. It doesn't mean I'm changing my name from Joel to Frank. It's not making a name for myself. Don't mean that, do we? Or if I make a name for myself, I'm doing something so that you notice me. I'm doing something so you notice me. My name now stands for who I am. It could be a good thing or a bad thing. You make a good name for yourself or make a bad name for yourself. But that's what making a name for yourself is. So Jesus is not just a word or a sound. If we know the name Jesus, the idea is we're knowing the person and who he is and what he's like. So it's the name of Jesus is helping us to think about that person, that man, the one who died for sins, the one who God raised from the dead, and he's returned to heaven and he has sent his Holy Spirit. God gives his name. God gives the name Jesus so we can know the man Jesus and all that he has done. The lame person was healed in the name of Jesus. So look back to chapter 3, verse 6. I think I've got this on the board, actually. So here we go. Here's the idea from chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is only in the name of Jesus. Next slide. We're looking at the idea of the name of Jesus for now. And then the next slide, look back to, if you want to read it, to see where it's coming from, chapter 3, verse 6. But Peter said to the lame man, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And then when people misunderstand the healing, on the next page, verse 12, it says, chapter 3, verse 12, "When Peter saw all the people running to him, when he saw this, he said to them, 'Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?'" That's not the case. You've misunderstood. What's really happened is in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. And it's not the word Jesus, the sound Jesus, that's like a magic spell. You think about it a bit more. When we thought about different languages, haven't we, in our song? Do you say hey? Do you say oi? Do you say oi? Jesus in other languages is Jesus or Isa. So that sound isn't a magic sound. That sound is a name for a person. Reminds people of the power and the reputation of Jesus. His character, that he is good. His power, that he can bring life. That's what the name reminds us of. So in chapter 4, when they are being accused, Peter says in chapter 4, verse 10, "Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." So the healing of the man, there's a lot of reference to this idea of the name of Jesus. It's a very important idea in this early part of the book of Acts. The name of Jesus and all that he represents. What's happened here with the healing of this man is a small picture of the great change that Jesus is bringing. In the passage that Grace read us from the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, God promised a terrible punishment on sinners. And he said in that passage, "All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." If you turn back to that, you can see it's on page 1093. You can go on to the next slide, Anya, sorry. Chapter 2, verse 21. That's from that prophet in the Old Testament. Joel is saying, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who relies on the... It's not saying everyone who says that word and makes that sound, but if they rely on the character of God, they will not suffer the catastrophe that's coming on the people. So this is not just people who come to church and shout the sound Jesus when they're in church. That doesn't make you safe. It's people who depend on the character of Jesus, who depend on his nature, his power, to save us. So that's the idea of the name of Jesus, who it represents. It represents him. And then the next slide, please. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. So what is salvation, according to Peter? What are we learning about the thing that Jesus brings? Look at chapter 3, verse 19. This is when Peter was speaking to all the crowd who gathered after the lame man was healed. And he said in 3:19, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And it's a really helpful understanding here of what salvation involves. The Lord takes away and the Lord gives. There's a famous verse from somewhere else in the Bible. He takes away our sins, wipes away sins. And the effect of our sins, the effect of all the times where we think we know better than God and choose to live like that, that makes us God's enemies. It means we face God's wrath in this life, but definitely in the judgment to come. But Jesus comes to save us from that, because we must be saved from the wrath of God. And so that's what Peter offers there in verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. But as I said, it's that the Lord takes away and the Lord gives. So as well as dealing with the wrath of God, he gives us new life with him. So if you read on, let me read the whole of verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. The refreshing of new life with God. The refreshing of forgiveness, but also of new life with God. Can we have the next slide? Salvation in the name of Jesus is salvation from our sins and the wrath of God, but it's also salvation for new life with God. This is very important because often people will say to us, your Christian message is basically you're forgiven so you can do what you want. And that's not the salvation that Jesus brings. He doesn't save us from sin so we can do what we want. He saves us from being God's enemies so that we can have life with God. And that's a good thing. If you've realized you're God's enemy, and what a terrible situation you're in, and now you get to be one of his children, that's a good thing. And you want it. You want to live as his child. A fish that jumps out of water onto land, you know, it's got full freedom, is not actually free. We're only truly free if we live in relationship with the God we were made for. Now, I know new life with Jesus often doesn't feel like times of refreshing, does it? It can include suffering. It can include rejection because I'm a Christian and humiliation. And Peter doesn't deny that. He talks about that elsewhere. But there is a deeper refreshing of life with God. The refreshment of my sins being forgiven, the clean conscience, no more fear of God. A hope of life with him in the next age. All of that is refreshing. Fellowship with other believers is refreshing. The Lord takes away sins. He gives new life with him. I won't explain it, but just to show you the idea again, look on the facing page, chapter 2, verse 38, at the bottom of the page there. Peter's telling the people on Pentecost what to do. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." So you see the name mentioned there. "For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Slightly different phrases. Doesn't say wiping away sins. Says forgiveness of sins. Doesn't say times of refreshing. He says the coming of the Holy Spirit. But it's the same idea. Salvation from being God's enemies. Salvation for a new life. So on the screen, next slide, please. Can you go back? So, I thought there was another one. So salvation is in the name of Jesus. We've thought about two of those elements. The name of Jesus, it's not a magic sound. It's the person of Jesus that the name reminds us of, who he is and what he can do. It's when we trust in that person that we have salvation. The salvation that he brings is wiping away or forgiving of sins to save us from God's wrath and refreshing life with God, the Holy Spirit. One last part to look at. Now we have this. Thank you. Salvation is only in the name of Jesus. Look again at chapter 4, verse 12, our main verse. Chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved. And as I said, the first way we might read this, living in London, is, well, that means the Hindu gods can't save you, and the Muslim god can't save you, Buddha can't save you. But Peter isn't in London in the 21st century at this point. Peter is in Israel. Remember, at Pentecost, he'd stood up and spoke, fellow Jews, all who live in Jerusalem, at the temple, he'd said, fellow Israelites, let me explain to you, it's not our power. In this trial, he'd said, leaders of the people of Israel. So he's amongst people of Israel. No one there is thinking, shall we try the gods of the Greeks or the gods of the Romans who had conquered that region? Let alone, shall we go over to remote countries like India where they've got Hinduism? No one's saying that. Peter is speaking to the Old Testament people of God who follow the God of the Old Testament as they believe. They think they do. And what Peter is saying is the God of the Old Testament has kept his promises to send the King, Jesus, and you've rejected him. He uses a picture from the Old Testament in verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. So there are some builders building a structure, probably the temple, with stones. And they've got a pile of stones to pick from. That's going to look good for the edge of the window. That'll look good over on the floor at that point. They toss one aside. That's not going to go with the work we're doing. We don't want that one. It's rubbish. And then later, that stone that they threw away is the cornerstone. The cornerstone on a building, it sets the position. All the rest of the building is sort of built around it. It sets the direction of the walls that fit in line with the shape of that corner. So what's the picture? Verse 11. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected. He has come to Israel. He has come to Jerusalem. He has come to the temple. And they have said, we don't want you, Jesus. You're not what we want. And they said that, so plainly. They gave him to their enemies and said, please kill him in the most humiliating way you can. But now Jesus is shown to be the heart of God's work. The God who made the world and everything in it. The God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The God who spoke through his prophet Moses. He has promised a way of salvation through his prophet Joel. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The way to forgiveness of sins and true life. And it's through Jesus. So the Old Testament people of God here in the book of Acts, they can't carry on like they are. They've got to change their mind. At least it's saying that you can't stay as a Jew who rejects the King of the Jews, Jesus. You have to admit that he is the King and come to him. So it's saying a slightly different thing, that the Bible is clear in other parts that the gods of Hinduism can't save you. The God of Islam can't save you. The rules of Buddha can't save you. The Bible's very clear about that, but that's not what this verse is telling us. This verse is saying, look, all the hope for human beings is in this man, Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus and only in him. And these people who been listening to the Old Testament scriptures for hundreds of years, they're not listening to it, and they need to. They need to change and accept Jesus. So how about you? Do you think the name of Jesus is a spell you can use in praying? Do you think if you just say Jesus enough in a prayer, that's going to make God listen? It's not what this verse is telling us, is it? Jesus is the name of the Saviour. Salvation is found in Jesus. Go to Jesus for forgiveness of your sins and for life with God. Don't try and use his name as a sound that will make God do things for you. But he's offering that. Turn back to him. Turn back to Jesus. He is the one who gives you that life. Perhaps you're here and you've claimed the name of Christian for yourself. And you're starting to find, or maybe for a while, you find being a Christian is wearisome. You'll feel disappointed the Lord Jesus hasn't given you the same privileges that he seems to give some of his other servants. Some of your family mock you for being a Christian, or you struggle with illness, or you've tried to do evangelism and it always doesn't work. Well, turn back to him for what he's promised. He promises forgiveness of sins. He promises the refreshment of life with him. Be refreshed in that. The name of Jesus, it stands for who Jesus is. And Peter is saying, Jesus is the person who will bring life to you. But only Jesus. If you're not yet accepting him, you have to change. That's what he was saying to these people. So, let's pray God gives you an opportunity to say to someone tomorrow, they'll say, what did you do at the weekend? And you might say, I went to church. What did happen at church? Well, we learnt that life with God can only come through Jesus. He's the answer of all those promises in the old part of the Bible. They've come true. Jesus is the way to life with God, that person. I've got a prayer on the board. Here we go. For us to pray. This is particularly for those who are not yet believers, but it's a prayer that we can always pray. Our life with God does not start with us. It starts with what God did with us by sending Jesus. I think it's helpful just to remember the ABC of this praying. Admit I'm a sinner. Believe that Jesus brings forgiveness of sins and new life with God. And then call on God for help in this new life. Dear God, I have done and said thought things that are wrong. I have not lived with Jesus as my King. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me and offer new life with you. From now on, please help me to live as one of your people with Jesus in charge. Okay, so if you agree with this prayer, please join me in praying. Dear God, I have done and said and thought things that are wrong. I have not lived with Jesus as my King. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me and offer new life with you. From now on, please help me to live as one of your people with Jesus in charge. Amen.